All right, let's dive in. We're tackling Hosea today, chapter 5 to be exact.
Ooh, Hosea, a favorite.
Definitely a book that packs a punch.
It really does. You know, sometimes people think of the prophets as all doom and gloom.
Right, fire and brimstone.
Exactly, but there's so much more going on.
Absolutely, and in Hosea especially, you see this incredible blend of, like, tough love and tenderness.
Oh, absolutely. It's raw, it's emotional, it's deeply personal.
And it speaks to us even today, you know? Thousands of years later, the themes of Hosea are still so relevant.
Oh, 100%. It's all about human nature, about relationships, about our relationship with God.
Exactly. And in chapter 5 specifically, we see Hosea zeroing in on this tumultuous period in Israel's history.
Right. We're talking divided kingdoms, political upheaval, spiritual confusion.
It's a mess. And Hosea doesn't hold back in calling out the people for their waywardness.
Well, he's a prophet after all. It's his job to speak truth to power, to challenge the status quo.
Right. And one of the things that really jumps out at you in Pastor 5 is the way Hosea places the blame for the nation's downfall squarely on the shoulders of its leaders.
Yes. And it's not just the kings or the political elite. He's also calling out the priests, the religious leaders.
No one gets a free pass.
Exactly. Because true leadership, according to Hosea, is about so much more than just holding a position of power.
It's about embodying certain qualities, right? Living out a certain way of being.
Absolutely. He talks about justice, about mercy, about faithfulness.
And he contrasts that with what he's seeing from the leaders of his day.
Which is not pretty.
Not pretty at all. I mean, the imagery he uses is so vivid, so visceral.
He describes these leaders as a snare, a net, trapping their own people.
It's predatory, almost like they're hunting the vulnerable for their own gain.
And that image, I think, is so powerful because it speaks to this this abuse of power that can happen in any era.
It's a timeless warning, isn't it? A reminder that leadership always comes with responsibility.
Absolutely. And that when those in power prioritize their own self-interest over the well-being of the people they're supposed to be serving, things fall apart.
Right. And we see that play out time and time again, both in the Bible and throughout history.
It's a cautionary tale for every generation.
Definitely. But let's shift gears a little bit and talk about another theme that Hosea explores in chapter 5, the idea of spiritual prostitution.
Ah, yes. That's a powerful image, isn't it?
It is. And maybe a little uncomfortable for...
It's definitely meant to be provocative.
So break it down for us. What is Hosea getting at with this metaphor?
Well, at its core, it's about a relationship that has become purely transactional.
Transactional.
Yeah, like a business deal. You give me this, I give you that.
So no real love, no genuine connection.
Exactly. It's about using someone for your own benefit.
And Hosea is applying this to Israel's relationship with God.
Precisely. He's saying that they've turned their faith into a kind of spiritual prostitution.
Wow.
They're not coming to God out of love and devotion, but because they want something for him. Blessings, prosperity, protection.
Like, I'll offer you sacrifices, but only if you promise to make me rich.
That's the idea. They're trying to manipulate God for their own desires.
It's like treating him like a cosmic vending machine.
Exactly. And that's what Hosea calls the spirit of prostitution.
The spirit of prostitution. Now, that's something I'm going to be thinking about for a while.
It's a challenging concept, for sure.
It is. And it makes you wonder, is this spirit of prostitution something unique to ancient Israel?
Or is it something that we still struggle with today?
I think about it. How often do we approach God, or even other people, with that, what can you do for me, attitude?
It's a question worth pondering, because maybe, just maybe, we might find glimpses of that spirit of prostitution lurking in our own hearts.
Ooh, that's convicting.
It is, and it's a reminder that true faith, true love, is about so much more than just getting what we want.
It's about surrendering to something bigger than ourselves, about seeking a genuine connection, a deep and abiding relationship. And that's something we'll be exploring further as we continue our deep dive into Hosea chapter 5.
So stay tuned.
Absolutely. We'll be right back after a quick break.
You know, before the break, we were talking about that transactional approach to faith.
Yeah, that spirit of prostitution, like Hosea calls it.
Exactly. And it really gets to the heart of what's going wrong in Israel. It's not just that they're breaking the rules or, you know, messing up the rituals.
Right. It's deeper than that.
It's a heart issue. They've lost sight of the true meaning of their relationship with God. They're not seeking him out of love and devotion.
They just want what they can get from him.
Exactly. It's all about, what can you do for me, God? It's like a cosmic transaction.
I'll give you this sacrifice. You give me that blessing.
Right. And that's so far from what God desires. He wants our hearts, not just our empty rituals.
So what's the antidote? What does it look like to have a genuine, non-transactional relationship with God?
Well, Jose actually gives us a clue in chapter 5. He says, I will return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face.
Okay, so there's hope. Even when it seems like God has withdrawn, there's still a path back to him.
Exactly. But it starts with acknowledging our guilt, with recognizing that we've messed up, that we've fallen short.
So we have to get real with ourselves, be honest about our shortcomings.
Exactly. It's about dropping the pretense, the mask we wear, and coming before God with humility and vulnerability.
Not trying to bargain or make deals.
Right. It's about saying, God, I need you, I've messed up, and I need your grace.
And that's just the first step, right? What about seeking his face? What does that look like?
Well, it's more than just showing up for religious services or going through the motions of prayer.
It's about a genuine desire to connect with God, to know him deeply and intimately.
Exactly. It's about aligning our hearts with his will, seeking his guidance in every area of our lives.
So it's a way of life, not just a set of religious duties.
Exactly. It's about surrendering our own agendas and saying, God, I want your will, not mine.
That's a tough one, but it's so important, isn't it?
It is. And it's the key to experiencing the fullness of what God has for us.
You know, all this talk about Israel's relationship with God makes me think about our own individual relationships with him.
Absolutely. Hosea's message is just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago.
So let me ask you this. Do you think we ever fall into that same trap of spiritual prostitution?
I think it's something we all struggle with at times. We can get so caught up in our own desires, our own agendas.
We forget that God is not a means to an end. He's not a cosmic vending machine.
Right. He's the source of all goodness, the one who loves us unconditionally and wants what's best for us.
So how do we guard against that transactional mindset? How do we cultivate a genuine, heart-centered relationship with God?
Well, I think it starts with honesty. With being willing to examine our motives, our desires. Why are we seeking God? What are we hoping to get from him?
And if our motives are less than pure, what then?
Then we confess, we repent, we ask for God's help to change our hearts.
We come back to that idea of acknowledging our guilt and seeking his face.
Exactly. It's a continual process of surrender and transformation.
It's about letting go of our own selfish desires and embracing God's will for our lives.
And as we do that, we'll find that our relationship with him becomes less about what we can get and more about who he is.
More about love, joy, peace, and all the fruits of the Spirit.
Exactly. That's the true blessing of a genuine relationship with God.
Well said. Now, speaking of relationships, I want to shift gears for a moment and talk about another important theme in Hosea chapter 5, leadership.
Oh, yes. Hosea has a lot to say about leadership, both good and bad.
He's pretty tough on the leaders of his day, isn't he?
He is. He calls them out for their greed, their corruption, their exploitation of the people.
It's like they've completely abandoned their responsibility to serve and protect those they're leading.
They're more concerned with their own power and privilege than with the well-being of the nation.
And as a result, the people are suffering.
Exactly. And Hosea makes it clear that this kind of leadership is not only destructive, but also deeply offensive to God.
So what does Hosea envision as the antidote to this corrupt leadership? What does he see as the hallmarks of true godly leadership?
Well, he points to three key qualities: justice, mercy, and faithfulness.
Can you unpack those for us a bit?
Sure. First, justice. True leaders are those who channel injustice, who seek fairness and equity for all, especially the marginalized and oppressed. They stand up for what's right, even when it's unpopular or costly.
They don't abuse their power for personal gain.
Exactly. Second, mercy. Godly leaders are characterized by compassion and understanding. They recognize that everyone makes mistakes and they're willing to extend grace and forgiveness.
They lead with a soft heart, not a clenched fist.
Right. And finally, faithfulness. True leaders are faithful to God, to his word, and to the people they serve. They keep in promises, they act with integrity, and they're always striving to do what's right, even when it's difficult.
It's like they're living out their faith in a tangible, practical way.
Exactly, and that's what makes their leadership so powerful and transformative.
It's a stark contrast to the self-serving leadership we see so often in the world.
Absolutely, and it's a reminder that true leadership is not about power or position, but about character and integrity.
It's about serving others, not exploiting them.
Right. It's about leading with love, justice, and mercy.
Powerful stuff. You know, it's easy to get discouraged when we look around and see so much bad leadership in the world.
It is. But Hosea's message reminds us that there's always hope.
God is still calling out for leaders who will stand up for what's right, who will lead with integrity and compassion.
And he's empowering us to be those leaders, whether in our families, our communities, or our workplaces.
So let's be inspired by Hosea's challenge and strive to embody those qualities of justice, mercy, and faithfulness in our own lives.
Let's be the leaders the world so desperately needs.
And speaking of the world, let's not forget about Judah.
Ah, yes, the southern kingdom. They've been lurking in the background of this whole story.
Seemingly less corrupt than Israel, but not exactly innocent either.
Right. Hosea describes them as stumbling alongside Israel, allowing the same corrupting influences to take root.
It's like they're watching a train wreck in slow motion and not doing anything to stop it.
They're complicit, even in their silence.
So what's their deal? Why are they so passive?
Well, it could be fear, apathy, a sense of complacency, or maybe even a misguided sense of self-righteousness. Perhaps they think they're better than Israel, less deserving of God's judgment.
It's a dangerous form of spiritual pride, isn't it? The kind that blinds us to our own shortcomings and prevents us from taking action.
Absolutely. And it's a cautionary tale for us today. How often do we witness injustice or wrongdoing and remain silent?
Are we so caught up in our own lives that we turn a blind eye to the suffering of others?
Or do we speak up, stand up for what's right, and make a difference in the world?
Tough questions, but ones we need to wrestle with.
Definitely, because Hosea's message is clear. Apathy and silence are not options for those who claim to follow God.
We're called to be agents of change, to be salt and light in a dark and broken world.
To embody those qualities of justice, mercy, and faithfulness in all that we do.
And with that, I think we need to take a pause. Our exploration of Hosea chapter 5 has certainly given us much to ponder.
It has indeed.
We're back, diving right back into Hosea chapter 5. We've been unpacking a lot. Corrupt leaders, spiritual prostitution, and how Judah just stood by.
Yeah, a lot to digest.
Definitely. But amidst all that heaviness, there's this constant reminder of God's love, even in the midst of judgment. Like, remember that image of the refining fire?
Oh, yeah. Intense imagery.
It is, but it's also incredibly hopeful. It's like this reminder that God isn't out to destroy us. He wants to purify us.
Make us stronger.
Exactly. He sees the potential in us, even when we're messing up, even when we're straying.
Absolutely. It's like a potter molding clay.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. The clay has to go through the fire, the pressure, to become something beautiful, something useful.
So we got to go through the fire, too.
In a sense, yes.
But what does that even look like, practically speaking?
Well, it can take many forms. Sometimes it's, you know, big challenges, major setbacks, like losing a job, going through a divorce, facing an illness.
The big stuff.
Right. Those things can shake us to our core, force us to reevaluate our priorities, our values.
It's like in those moments, we're stripped bare, vulnerable.
And that's where God can really work in us, you know, mold us, shape us.
It's like the refining fire burns away all the impurities, all the things that are holding us back.
Exactly. It refines our character, strengthens our faith, draws us closer to God.
But it doesn't always have to be like some major catastrophe, right?
No, not at all. Sometimes it's much more subtle. Like a gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit, a feeling of conviction when we're about to make a wrong choice.
Those quiet whispers.
Right. And it's in those moments that we have to be attentive, you know, listen to that still, small voice.
Pay attention to the promptings of the Spirit.
Exactly. Because sometimes the refining fire is more like a slow burn. It's a gradual process of sanctification, of becoming more like Christ.
So it's not always going to be dramatic or painful.
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's just about being open to God's leading, willing to let him work in us in those small, everyday moments.
Makes sense. But even if the process isn't always painful, it still requires something from us, right?
Oh, definitely. It requires surrender, letting go of our own will, our own desires, and embracing God's plan for our lives.
And that's tough. We like to be in control, don't we?
We do. But true freedom comes when we surrender to God, when we trust him to lead us, to guide us, to refine us.
It's like letting go of the reins, letting God take the wheel.
And knowing that he's a much better driver than we are.
That's for sure. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Hosea chapter 5, I'm left with this question. What's our response to all of this?
Yeah, what will our last word to God be?
Will we resist the refining fire? Cling to our own way of doing things?
Or will we surrender to God's transforming power?
Will we allow him to shape us, mold us, make us into the people he created us to be?
Ultimately, the choice is ours. But Hosea gives us reason to hope, to believe that even when we mess up, even when we stray,
God's love is always there.
Always pursuing us, always drawing us back to himself.
And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is a truly beautiful thing.
Well, folks, that's a wrap for our deep dive into Hosea chapter 5. I hope you've enjoyed the journey.
Me too.
It's been quite a ride. And remember, the refining fire is always working, shaping us, molding us. It might not always be comfortable.
Not true.
But it's always for our good.
Always for our good.
Until next time. Keep seeking, keep surrendering, and keep allowing God to refine you into the masterpiece you were created to be.